Good afternoon, everybody. This is Dennis Mann. Here's another episode of my podcast about the Kristen Smart case. I thought I'd take today and tell you about a man by the name of Gus that I met at the farmer's market in 2003 in San Luis Obispo. For those of you who don't know, on Thursday evenings, San Luis Obispo comes alive with a farmer's market and thousands of people attend. And at the time, I had a sign that I held over my head. It said, "Dig up Susan Flores' yard, find Kristen Smart." And I'd be walking around Arroyo Grande with it. And obviously, I knew that thousands of people were going to be up to farmer's market. So on Thursday evening, I would drive from Arroyo Grande up to San Luis, and I would take my sign. And I'm 6'5". I'm a big guy to begin with. So when I held that banner up over my head and walking around downtown, everybody saw it. I had a lot of people come up to me and comment. And one person in particular really got my attention. His name was Gus. He was a man in his, I'd say, 50s. He had a gray ponytail. Nice guy. Came up to me and he says, "Hey, listen, I want to tell you something about this girl you're looking for." He goes, he was a temporary employee and he was in town doing some work for Verizon. And he was working at some warehouse. I don't know where it was. I apologize. But he never did tell me. But he said that he was working there one morning and Ruben Flores walked up to him. And in a pretty arrogant way, he never said, "Hi, my name is Ruben Flores." He walked up to Gus and he says, "I guess you know who I am." And Gus had heard the talk about Ruben among the co-workers. And Gus, he didn't know how to handle it. So he kind of sheepishly, and this is Gus telling me this, he sheepishly responded, "Well, yeah, it's kind of hard not to know who you are." And then Ruben just looked at him with a steely eye gaze in his eye. And he said to Gus, "Look, that girl is a bitch and she deserved to die." And he turned around and walked away. And Gus approached me because Gus really felt the need that he needed to tell me that he was deeply offended by what Ruben said. But he was shocked also by what Ruben said. It caught him off guard. And he goes, "Dennis, I should have gone up there and just punched him. And I don't know why I didn't. But kind of gives you an insight to the kind of person that Ruben Flores is. There's a whole lot more to Ruben Flores than just this one incident. I want to share something with you that Denise once told me. It was several months, I believe, after Kristen disappeared, and there was a deposition up in San Luis Obispo. And the Smarts were there, and of course the Flores were at that deposition. And as you can imagine, it was very, very, very difficult for Denise to be in the same room as Ruben Flores because it just made her skin crawl. But it's something she had to do for her daughter, so she did it. And as the questions went on in the deposition, at some point they decided to take a break. And all Denise could think about is, "I got to get out of this room. I got to get away from these people." So she walked out of the room and she walked down the hallway and she found an open door. She went through it just to an empty room and she closed the door behind her. She went to sit down just to be by herself and collect her thoughts. And shortly after that happened, shortly after she sat down, the door opened again. And believe it or not, Ruben Flores walked into the room with Denise, closed the door behind him, and he started looking at Denise, and he never said a word to her. He just started laughing at her, like in a low tone so nobody else could hear it. He just started laughing in Denise Smart's face, and then he turned around and walked out the door. So that's the kind of people we're dealing with. I'd like to share one other story with you now. And as these podcasts go on, I've got 1,000 stories. It takes time to get them all out. But if you stick with me, by the time I'm done, you'll know so much more about Kristen's case than the media ever was able to share with you. I got a call one day, and this is about a girl that Paul used to date, and he actually lived with her. She's one of my favorite people I've ever met since Kristen disappeared. And for this reason, this is a young girl that the minute she found out Paul's background, she was out of there. Not only that, she took it upon herself to contact us and say, "Listen, I was dating this guy. I didn't know. I found out I'm gone. Here's what I know. I feel so sorry for Kristen Smart's family." And I've always told this girl, her name is Angie, that she spoke up when it mattered. There's a people today that knows something about Kristen, and for whatever crazy-ass reason, they're choosing not to call the sheriff's department, call the Smarts, or even call me or David Smallwood of the California Register. They're sitting on information. And this sets Angie apart from all the other people. And here's her story. Now, this is before Google came around, so it wasn't an easy case just to Google somebody's name and you know. So she meets this guy, and she liked him for whatever reason. And they ended up living together. And she would tell me that one night she came home from work, and Paul used to drink all the time, she said. But this time he was really, really drunk. And he was laying on the bedroom or kitchen floor. I don't remember which room it was. But he was rolled up in a fetal position like a baby. And he was crying uncontrollably. And she said, "What is wrong?" She could not get Paul to stop crying. No matter what she did, Paul just kept on sobbing and sobbing. "What is wrong? What is wrong?" she said. And Paul finally said, "I've done something horrible. I've done something horrible." She said, "What?" She goes, "I can't tell you. I can't tell you." And he was just rolling around on the floor, rolling. It was sometime after this. And you know, at this point, Google is just starting to come alive. And she ended up Googling his name. She found out, and she was gone. But one other incident she told me happened, what really made her to go to Google and start searching, it was after this crying incident, they got into an argument, and Paul actually put a knife to her throat. It was a butter knife. It wasn't a sharp steak knife, but still. You know, and she said, "I got to get out of here." And she did get away successfully. I have good news. This young woman is living a great life right now. She's very happy. She has a whole other family. She's doing wonderful. But I really appreciated her coming forward. And I wish we had more Angies in Kristen's case, because we would probably have Kristen home by now. Okay, so those are just three stories I wanted to share with you for this podcast. Like I said, I don't know if I have thousands, but I have hundreds and hundreds of stories about Kristen's case and the Smarts. And I really feel like so much time has gone by now that if I don't get this information out down on paper and book form or podcasts are so much easier, the information that I've gained all these years will just be lost, and that would be not good for Kristen. So I want to get this information out there. And I got a nice call last night from a man in Colorado. He listened to my original podcast that I posted a couple of days ago about the Brandon Allison lead. And he actually made a very good point that I didn't think about. He said that by putting this information out there, it not only informs the public, but in other ways it holds law enforcement accountable that they have to follow up on these leads now. They don't necessarily respond to me, and I don't expect them to, but there's people with power and clout in the community that say, "Hey, what's going on with this Brandon Allison lead?" And I'm hoping that people in San Luis Obispo County that have power and clout and that want Kristen found will listen to these podcasts, learn some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and get involved. Okay, so thank you very much. I plan on posting 2 or 3 podcasts a week. I'll always post them on Facebook to let people know they're up there. And for the first couple, please bear with me. This is a learning process. I'm just learning how to do podcasts, and there's a learning curve. But it really doesn't look that hard. So thank you all very much, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.